am not worrying about these other little gorillas. I am only worrying about Tenyu. Me and my partner Gocho is going to beat the living shit out of Tenyu. I've been chasing Tenyu for many, many years. Now I finally got the chance to come to Japan and fight Tenyu. He's not hungry no more, but I'm here to beat him up. I'm going to beat him up with my fork, with my fist, and I have something beautiful for Tenyu. He never felt the fork, but he's going to feel it. I'm going to make sure that this keeps going into his head, into his back, into his stomach. I'm going to shove it all the way up his ass. Tenyu, come after me. I'm coming for you. I dream about you. I can't sleep at night, but I'm coming, Tenyu. I'm here in Japan now, Tenyu. Tenyu, I'm not worrying about these other little people who you got around you. I'm going to stop you, Tenyu. I'm going to stop you. 10 years ago, you made a statement. I have never forgot the statement what you made. I remember you in Atlanta, Georgia, when you were hungry. You didn't beat me then, and you're not going to beat me now. Come on, Tenyu. Taste it. Taste the fork. But you're eating you now. Come on, Tenyu. Come on. Come on.
I know what I'm doing best, and I know what's going on around here, 'cause I know what I'm doing best.
Hello and welcome to episode number 10 of Crossing Borders, the wrestling podcast for analysis and good times of the pro wrestling industry. My name's Strenuous Man Flurry, and I'm joined as always by Ryder Kath.
Hello world.
How are you doing today, Kath?
Not too bad.
Not too bad? Why only not too bad?
Just work. Work. Same as always.
That's how it usually goes. But it's Thanksgiving tomorrow. I take it you're not celebrating.
Usually I actually do go to my friend's place.
Yeah.
In the States, but this year it didn't work out, so no big.
So it'll be another day, probably at the store.
Yeah.
Working.
Oh, yes.
Well, at least we have professional wrestling to keep you company.
Oh, golly. Yeah, through good times and bad.
So we had a enormously packed week, more so than just about any week in recent memory, because we now have a new champion and another new champion on top of that. Ratings dipped under 3 million viewers for the first time in a long time. That's the three-hour average. TNA is on a new station. WWE is doing some more classless shit. Just my good golly, do we have a lot to talk about.
And, you know, it's funny. I think the only funny thing to come out of WWE being so classless and so tactless is their hilariously inept attempts to clean up.
Yes, absolutely. That's half the fun.
They're so bad at it.
Well, you know what? What else they're bad at? They're bad at picking champions. But it remains to be seen where they go from here. But let's just go ahead and start off the top. Breaking news right now on Twitter. Apparently Randy Orton also needs neck surgery.
Yeah, looks like reports are saying he'll be out for 18 months.
If that's the case, that's really fucking bad. Because it's not like one body part heals and then the other one after the first one heals starts healing. So he's got to have like a super fucked up neck.
Yeah, and dude's always been a little bit injury prone, but this, you never want to see this happen to anybody.
You know, we were talking about the rash of injuries just a week or two ago, and it seems like it's getting worse.
It does, and Orton, I think he's also been another guy who's had very much the end of his career set in his mind,
yeah.
Just going by interviews, and he's closer to the end than he is to the beginning, so who knows, this might be what just changes his mind.
Yeah, I mean, if you're out for that long, that to me means probably neck fusion, and that means retire.
Yeah, that's scary. I mean, at the point Randy Orton is in his career, what more do you have to prove?
I don't know. Maybe he likes wrestling.
It's entirely possible, but I do think he's probably in a position to have seen the long-term effects of wrestling, probably more than a lot of people. So at the same time, he seems like a dude who is pretty smart and values his health. So you know, if he can come back, great. If not, I hope he chooses to do what's right for himself.
Yep, rest in peace, Randy Orton. Now, Kath, I just remembered something. Now, Mick Foley has gotten some press lately. Before we get into our what we're thankful for here for Thanksgiving, Mick Foley's gotten some press for a long Facebook post he did where he talked about how he was like the Pied Piper of wrestling fans, and if he goes, so they go, and some other bullshit, and he's talking about how he's just very, very disappointed in the WWE. And do you think they give a shit?
No. I've talked about this before, where they are such an insular and isolated company that unless you're in there, it's almost like the world doesn't exist.
No, I mean, like, do you think, like, they're mad at Foley for writing that? Like, I mean, they are control freaks, as we well know. And this is a guy who is nominally employed by the company as, you know, like, their brand ambassador type shit. I don't know if he still is, but he was as of very recently. He was taken out, and then Warrior died, so they gave him it back. So, like, you know, you've got this guy who's a lifer, a well-respected figure in WWE lore and history, and he's basically saying, hey, you guys fucking suck.
You know, I don't think... That is one thing about this company. If somebody can make them money, they'll take them back.
Can Foley make them money?
I think Foley is a... He's somebody who can bring in the eyeballs for some of those Attitude Era fans who might have drifted away.
Yeah.
So I think he has some value to them. And again, he's another person who's quite articulate. He's funny. He can do the rounds. So I don't necessarily think this will be like a permanent severing. They might just be a little sore at him.
You know, we're going to talk about another guy that WWE thinks they can make money with a little later in the show, but we'll get there. Now, what are you thankful for here on this Thanksgiving?
I am thankful that we got a little Heath Slater segment on Raw.
The little things in life, right?
You know, honestly, a lot of times when I watch Raw, sometimes it's boring, sometimes it's aggressively bad, but I was trying to find a few bright spots, and that one was pretty funny.
What do you think of Raw overall?
It's surprising to me that they're starting to let a few people go here and there. Mm-hmm. Namely talent they haven't really been using, to be fair. But...
Oh, yeah, they fired Brad Maddox for saying prick in a promo on a house show, apparently.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, they just fired the poor guy. Well, happy Thanksgiving!
Unfortunately for him, like, it's not like he was being used too much anyway.
Yeah.
It was probably more of a, this can happen to you, watch your mouth, situation.
Plus, they clearly had no plans for the guy.
Exactly. I think the roster, like, with the spate of injuries going on, it's exposed how shallow their main event scene is, but at the same time, they've got such a strong mid-card. They could.
In theory, they do. In theory, they have the best, like, main event six guys, like, ever, but none of them that should be are main eventers.
Yeah.
Oh my god, so did we mention that Cesaro tore his rotator cuff?
Yeah, yet another victim of, I still think it's the road schedule.
I think it's a lot of things. Not that that helps at all, for sure, but man, oh man, the Teflon fucking man, Cesaro.
Yeah.
Tearing his shoulder out. That sucks. So Randy Orton dislocates his shoulder and has a neck injury. Cesaro tears his shoulder. Rusev is finally back. He came back a few weeks too early. But maybe it healed quicker than usual, his bicep injury. I think he was supposed to be out for 6 weeks, but he was only out for 3 or 4. But goddamn, man, you got people just going through the grinder.
And it's like the Attitude Era all over again, and you really can't blame it on, like, these mega bumps people are taking, because they're not.
Yeah, it's that you're not having all the TLC matches, and you're not having all the table spots, and, you know, the match intensity has picked up, but it hasn't picked up appreciably from, like, you know what it has? It has. They've absolutely, the last 2 years, have been having longer matches than, like, any other time.
But they've also have guys who are really good at wrestling, so you can have those longer matches.
Yeah, you know, and that's one thing I've always kind of been fascinated with, is we have the generation right now that's, you know, running things in the WWE, is the generation that loved good matches when they were watching, and now they want to have you know, good matches all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. That's just curious to me, you know, because this is the first, like, not that people don't want to make money, and not that people don't want to be characters, and not that people, you know, don't want to draw and all that shit, but everybody wants to be a good wrestler, pretty much, except for some of the outside guys, you know, like, you have Owens and Cesaro and Seth and Ambrose and all these guys who just want to have long-ass great matches.
Yeah, they're guys who are really committed to the art of it,
you know,
the artistry. And you don't have it in the Attitude Era where you would see some people just actively dogging it.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
I think
half the fucking roster was just garbage in the Attitude Era.
And I think you just have a lot of guys who are just committed to being good at wrestling.
Yeah. Hey, that's one thing I'm thankful for.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the quality of the roster and just absolutely fantastic. And here's hoping, like, a lot of those guys come back and they rest up properly. Just saw a video on Seth Rollins, and dude's doing 5 hours of rehab a day.
That's a lot of rehab.
That is.
That's a lot of fucking rehab.
That's pretty insane.
He is going to make Mania, isn't he?
He definitely shouldn't. If nothing else, like, fingers crossed, it's just to show his face. But
maybe take a couple bumps.
Maybe, or, you know, throw a briefcase shot in there or some, you know, do something.
Screw Roman out of the title again.
That'd be amazing. That would be great. I would be fine with that. They might keep it a surprise. Who knows? And I'm just trying to think. Like Sami Zayn, it looks like he's going back. He's going to be on the NXT tour in the UK, the upcoming one.
About time. I think he's been out for like 8 goddamn months.
Yeah. No word yet on if he's competing or if he's just doing appearances. But honestly, I still think it's the guys are on the road too much. It's too hard.
You know, I think a lot of it might be all the international dates that they do.
You know, you can always tell when it's an international date or, like, when they've just gotten back because there's almost a sense of jet lag.
Yeah.
You know, you can see it in the ring. That's when you just see those unusually botchy kind of nights. And you know what? People aren't made to go that hard, that constantly, just being on the grind.
You know, I flew in this year. I've flown into New Jersey and Chicago from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I'll tell you, I fucking hate it. And those are not very long flights. And I've actually flown out to Hawaii, and, like, I was despondent by the time that we were, I don't know, halfway there. But flying sucks. And having to fly 3 to 4 to 5, maybe 6 times a week. We're getting a little bit exaggerated there, but having to fly 3 to 4 times a week is just, that sounds like the worst horseshit imaginable.
And not only that, you've got to factor in, you and I are average height and build.
Yeah.
So imagine being, you know, like 6 inches, 7 inches taller, crammed into those seats. It is awkward. You're sore. If you have a sore knee, and you're sitting in a flight for 4 hours, what's going to happen? It's going to stiffen up.
Yeah.
And then you have to go land, find a gym, find some food, go to the show, and do it all over again.
Not to mention, if you're not the fucking champion or a big star, you got to go fly and coach.
Yeah.
You know, fucking WWE.
You know, for a company that makes so much damn money.
Yeah. Oh, you have to play for your own flights.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Independent contractors.
Oh, what a goddamn racket. So you got these big motherfuckers who, no matter who they sit next to, are going to be uncomfortable because they are wider than the seats that they are forced to sit into. Flying, you know what? It is what it is. It's ridiculous,
yeah.
And, you know, these are not things that we are thankful for. We are unthankful for these.
Yes. These are things that should change, and they really need to scale down the house shows, if nothing else.
You might need to just do away with them if they keep drawing the way that they have been.
Yeah, honestly, make them a little more special.
Like, what? I still cannot believe that they don't do location-specific promos. Like, you know, when they're going to Atlanta, in the Atlanta market, you know, you need to do the little promos for the show and blah, blah, blah. We're coming to your town and boobity-boo. They don't do that at all, and they don't even do, like, they used to do the, you know, graphic during Raw back in the day where they would be like,
yeah,
WWE live events here, 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 and here.
Yeah, you do not see that anymore.
Yeah, I think they feel like it's, since they're non-canon, it will confuse people if they tell people that they are touring or something, and I don't get that, because...
Because wrestling fans are stupid.
Well, they are, but all fans are stupid, you know? They're more or less stupid, really.
You remember when Heath Slater's nickname was the One Man Rock Band?
Yes.
Do you know why he had to change it?
They'd confuse him with The Rock.
Yes. If wrestling fans heard the word rock, they would think The Rock was coming out, and
yep,
then they'd be sad.
That's right. And maybe they were right. No, they're not right. They're not right. Anyway, what I'm thankful for is pretty soon I'm going to see Sombra wrestle live in front of me at an NXT show.
Mm-hmm.
I am thankful for Thanksgiving because
very
that's
nice.
The best. I am unhappy that there is no Thanksgiving wrestling anymore, but, you know, I guess we could watch SmackDown.
And holiday SmackDowns are always a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Plus, we're finally getting we're getting that big Swagger Del Rio match.
Yeah, they really honestly tend to be, like, just goofy.
Yep.
Or fairly light in nature, and they're usually a lot of fun.
Almost non-canon in that regard.
Yeah.
So, moving on from that topic, let's get into ratings here, because for the first time in a long, long, long time, and I'm talking in the 90s, WWE averaged under 3 million viewers for their 3-hour Raw here. So,
yeah.
I mean, obviously back in the day they weren't 3-hour Raws, but that's the new normal. So, for the first time in a long time, 2.9 million viewers and some change. Horrible rating. And this is a post-pay-per-view, post-title change Raw, which is usually very, very up, which makes me worried for next week. But how low can they go?
You know, just because they are still the highest rated show on USA, I don't think it's going to matter too much to them. I don't know if this is going to be some magic number that makes them panic book or what, but the company's head is so far up its own ass that I really don't think it's going to make them freak out by any means.
Look, the company's head might be up its collective ass, but one thing they very much pay attention to is ratings. So, doing this rating for the first time, I think they're going to... I don't know if they're going to just all of a sudden hotshot, but I think we might be in for some interesting TV here for the rest of football.
Yeah, probably. And I think, honestly, to be fair to the company, they got hit with a few whammies, so...
Ain't no whammy made them make Sheamus champion.
Well...
They didn't have to.
No, they didn't. And, it's really quite amazing how they consistently managed to undo the progress they've made with Roman Reigns.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like... What do you even say about that? We're actually doing a whole topic about that fucker later, so we'll get to it. But, you know, you have a new champion, you have kind of a new authority stable forming, I guess, now here under Sheamus. Sheamus is facing off against Roman Reigns, so that's the going program here. I don't know if Undertaker is going to be back, I don't know when Brock is back. I don't know, but, like, right now, you feel like...
You know, honestly, I think, if I can speak for fans for a moment...
You may.
They did a find replace of Seth Rollins with Sheamus.
Huh.
And it's pretty bleeding obvious.
You know, it almost seems like they did a find replace with Seth and Dean as far as what the whole main event was going to be there at Survivor Series with Sheamus cashing in and, you know, that feud kind of transitioning off. Only they further marginalized Dean by having him lose in a complete nothing main event. What the fuck was that main event?
I did not watch the show, so I can't talk too much about it, but I heard it was very rushed.
Yes.
So it's one of those things, they've got nobody to blame but themselves. Did they really have to put prolong the whole celebration thing, do the confetti, like, it's stupid.
Oh, no, the thing is, they went off the air, like, they didn't even go off the air at 10:50. They were off the air prior to that.
Okay, so then...
They still had, like, a god... Like, they still had, like, 12 minutes of TV before they, you know, because they like to have that little buffer. So mm-hmm. they at least had 10 more minutes. They could have had a 15, 16-minute match, no sweat.
Yeah, and that probably would have done a lot more for Roman.
Yep.
Yeah, that's just a damn shame.
Now, you know what? No, let's be real here. WWE needed to turn either Roman or Dean. Now, maybe it didn't make sense for Roman anymore because he had turned down the authority and he made it his, you know, his yeah. own way into the main event, but you needed to turn Dean. You yeah. needed to turn Dean, or you needed to have Owens lose to Reigns and have Dean turn after, but this isn't going to work. Sheamus isn't over.
No.
And more it overness goes beyond just if they get a reaction that night. You know, Roman yeah. Reigns is getting better reactions, but Roman Reigns is not the guy who's the channel changer. You know, he's not bringing people in like you want from your top guy, and you have no support guy at all right now.
And the company is just so insistent on having a heel champ right now. And they did it for a long time with Seth, and they kind of did it with, you know, you could argue with Brock. And it's like they've completely forgotten the value of a dominant babyface.
Or, you know, that babyface period of a few yeah. months in between long heel champs, if you do want to go the long heel champ route. I mean, WWE itself, or at least WWWF, was founded on long-term face champions. And Lord knows, you know, times have changed, but, you know, John Cena...
Yeah, and certain stories.
Stone Cold, the Hulk Hogan.
Certain stories are classic.
Right.
And, I mean, Austin didn't always have super long reigns because he was constantly getting screwed by
yeah,
man.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, you've got to have your story in place. And I think that's what's killing them.
You cannot force the wrong guy in the right position.
No.
You know, and no matter how insistent you are, eventually you got to get the fucking clue. Now, every single time we talk about Roman Reigns, you and I, we talk about how much we like him as a wrestler. I think he's very good. I think he can be a very good promo, but I don't think he's even close to the guy. I know he's not. Right now, in this role, as he is, he's not working.
No.
He's doing okay now. He's doing better now. But good enough is not what you want from your top babyface. This guy... Once upon a time, remember how fucking over he was?
Yeah.
Like, when he almost won the Rumble.
Yeah.
Like, he was on fire. People, like, you could have put him in the main event right after that, have him beat Batista for the title shot, run it to Mania, and that dude would have been the most over motherfucker in the company, but you held it off for an entire year, and then he won Royal Rumble, and no one cared. Actively, people hated him. But it's like, you're trying to force it. It's not... working.
Mm-hmm. And they're just going out of their way not to play to his strengths.
Yeah. It's self-sabotage all around.
Yeah, and this is a guy that they are determined to make because from day one he's theirs. You know, he didn't come in with the indie experience. He didn't, he's their pet project.
Yeah.
No, Ambrose was an indie guy. Rollins was an indie guy. Cesaro was an indie guy. And I think that's why. Because I think that is the motivating factor behind Reigns. This proof that they can take a dude from, you know, for off the street and make him this phenomenon. And it's not working.
Yep. It did once.
Yeah.
It absolutely did at one point and kind of blows me away.
You know, I think, honestly, it would have, I think it would have imploded eventually.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I think it would have imploded sooner rather than later with him.
Maybe. But, you know, when you have the window, you have the window.
Yeah.
When you don't have the window, you don't have the window, and they don't have the window with
and
Roman.
That's why it's astonishing with, like, Ambrose, because... They keep sabotaging him, and yet the fans are still excited to see him.
Yeah.
You know, you put him on a little bit of a win streak and people start talking.
You give him an interesting feud, like, at all?
Yeah. Well, it looks like they're going the way of Owens.
Yeah, I've seen Owens in his post-Cena feuds, and none of them are good. Like, the matches are, but the feuds all fucking suck.
Well, I mean, all the feuds suck.
They kind of do. Thank God for the fucking New Day. That's what I'm thankful for.
Yeah, the New Day are pretty damn fun.
Kofi Kingston put his hair up in a unicorn, unicorn horn. He's great. I love that guy.
Yeah, it's something where you can just tell the three guys are just feeling it.
Absolutely.
And that always kind of shows. Yeah. And I've discussed that before, where some people just throw themselves wholeheartedly into a storyline or into a character, and the crowd feeds off that.
Yeah, so it's not all bad people, and I hate to come off like I hate everything, because I sure as shit don't, and a lot of those matches on Survivor Series were pretty good, but I'm just kind of getting tired of...
The thing is, like, all the matches are pretty good. The quality of people they have ensures that the wrestling will, at the very worst, be competent.
Yeah, and often very good, although Survivor Series really didn't have anything over a honorable mention match of the year.
Yeah.
Dean Ambrose versus Kevin Owens was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And Roman Reigns versus Alberto Del Rio actually was a pretty good match. But there weren't much else worth a shit.
Right.
You know, it is what it is. But I don't hate everything just out of hand. If it were good, I would be raving, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But Sheamus is the lead heel and champion in WWE, and Sheamus is a pretty good wrestler, but he's Sheamus. Sheamus, in the match at Survivor Series, was made out to be a big old dork, and then he wins the fucking title, and now he's the focal point of Raw with his own stable, and it's...
If nothing else, the face going through a stable of guys to get to the champ is one of those classic storylines.
Yeah.
Provided they can do it right. You know, it's amazing they haven't, like, found one of these old promoters' playbooks and dusted it off. Because some of those ideas are classic, you know? Hero has a goal, he overcomes obstacles, accomplishes his goal.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. But...
Just Sheamus, man.
I know. And Sheamus is a case I find very similar to Roman Reigns, where it's... I don't hate the man by any means, but I find him pretty much forgettable until he shows up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's just... I find that so distracting, because it'll be like, oh yeah, Sheamus. And it's... Again, it's not his fault, and it's not certainly not his wrestling ability, because he's a fine wrestler.
Yeah, he is.
But it's that lack of motivation, it's that lack of heat. Like, his sole character trait is being Irish. And the fans chant, "You look stupid," at him.
Right? And he says, "Are you not entertained?"
Yeah. And even Barrett, where, you know, he had the bad news thing, or he's able to portray a smugness. And I find Barrett great in that regard, because he does a lot of little things.
Yes, he does.
I remember one battle royal where he eliminated somebody with a big boot. He's kind of leaning in the ropes as the person's walking away, and he, like, blows them a kiss and waves. I'm just like, that is such a dick move.
I feel like Barrett is much more complete as far as a character goes, and Sheamus is a great look at that, but beyond that, as far as playing a character, I mean, Irishness is not a character, and having a cool look is not a character, and I'm not going to compare him to The Miz necessarily, but I do get a similar vibe between the two, where it's like, I don't buy you. I don't feel like you come off as, you know, fully assimilated into an actual wrestler. You're like an amalgam. You're like playing the role of a pro wrestler. You know, and he's a big bruiser, and he's very muscular and strong and smooth in the ring. But, like, you know, you just kind of look at him and you're like, You're kind of fake. You're a little bit fake, you know what I mean? And that little lacking something is what holds him back for me a lot of the time. And he's the champion of the company.
Fair enough, and I see exactly what you're saying with him. And again, it just boils down to not playing to people's strengths. I think Sheamus in a faction or a stable is a great addition.
Yeah.
Because he's size, he's presence, he's a look. And that's why the stable with Rusev and Barrett's kind of fun, because like they can basically cover up his weaknesses, and it's not that he hasn't been doing this a long time. He's been on the UK Indies for several years.
That he was.
But he just doesn't have something that puts him over the top.
Yeah, and that's not a huge like
it's not
criticism
enough.
Because most people don't have that.
No. There's certain people who just get your attention. Like, again, Ambrose is a dude who gets attention.
Yeah.
Because he comes out and he doesn't have this choreographed entrance, and he just kind of looks like he wandered in ready for a fight. And, you know, Sheamus always talks about fighting and, you know, wanting to fight. That was the start of his whole character. And yet, I believe it a lot more when Ambrose shows up in his jeans, and throwing, you know, air punches.
You know,
I believe that dude's ready to throw down.
It just makes me laugh because you mentioned the stable, and yes, there is a stable now. Sheamus, Rusev, and Barrett, and you look at what each guy's role should be, and if you had to guess, you probably wouldn't guess what they went with.
No, not in the slightest.
You know, you'd think Barrett the champion, and Sheamus is heavy.
Yeah, and Sheamus, or Barrett's another dude who could, you know, he can either just beat the crap out of you, or he could pull off conniving heel. He's another guy who can pull off that kind of smart, takes advantage kind of heel.
Yeah, plus he's very good at being a coward.
Yeah. I mean, there was this one time where it was the Shield versus, like, it was like 11-on-3. And the Shield just spent the whole night beating the crap out of most everyone in the match. And Barrett saw the tide was turning, and he just left.
Yeah.
He didn't bother complete the match, let somebody else get beat. What did he care? And that's a kind of conniving I can get behind. Where it's not just ending the match screwy just for the sake of it. There's a way to do that cowardly, smart heel, where it makes you want to see them get beat up, not where it makes you annoyed that you watched that match.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Barrett's very good at that. And then you throw him in the ring with some smaller dudes, let him throw them around. I find Barrett very versatile.
I do too, and I don't care if people don't like to hear us say that. I like Wade Barrett very much.
Yes.
I think he's great. I think he needs to stop being King Barrett, or the King of Bad News, or whatever he is. He should just be Wade Barrett. A.K.A. Bad News Barrett. That's fine.
Absolutely. And, no, I think dude's really come a long way, this year especially.
Yep.
I mean, considering he was out injured early in the year, ever since he came back, it's like a switch turned on, and he's just had it. He put all the pieces together.
Gotcha. Yeah, agreed.
And he's another dude where you give him the microphone and 5-10 minutes, and he can get the crowd eating out of his hand. So, I wish he was champion instead of Sheamus.
Yes, I wish a lot of people were champion instead of Sheamus.
Like,
anyway.
Barrett's a dude where he would benefit so much from the Money in the Bank case.
I'm just completely shocked that they're so fucking obstinate to make Roman Reigns a face main event guy, rather than turning him heel.
The thing is, not just a face main event guy, they're kind of face main event guy on their terms. And if you don't like their terms, the hell with you.
Yeah.
And people would be fine with Roman if he was this kind of like, a lot of people make the Goldberg comparison, where he didn't say a lot, but he hit very hard. Okay. Cool. It's different.
Yeah.
It's not a dude cracking jokey jokes.
You know, like, do people understand how important Goldberg was? WCW would have lost money if he didn't come on the scene.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, the next year after, you know, they lost an enormous amount of money, but he completely buoyed their business by himself. Like,
yeah,
it's okay. You can build Invincible Monster Guy. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. And the thing with Roman is that, okay, he's already got some losses under his belt, so I think that was part of Goldberg's downfall, was they didn't have a plan for after.
Also, the way they beat him fucking killed him.
I haven't gotten there yet, so spoilers.
Oh, I'm sorry. well, going to the point here, Roman Reigns, they want to make him a face main event guy.
Yeah.
Their main event guy. Is there a way to do it while keeping him face?
I don't know. As morbid as it is, I think if he got injured or something, or if he had to go away for a bit, it would probably do him a lot of good. You know, you could have Sheamus crowing about how he defeated Roman Reigns, he took him out, blah blah blah, he's never coming back. 2-3 weeks later, bam, Roman comes back, spears the shit out of Sheamus, and just, he's done talking, he just wants to fight. But that's not their kind of babyface.
Right.
I don't know if they can fit him into their mold. It doesn't suit him, and it's a very awkward fit. I don't think they can do it. I don't think, frankly, they have the... I don't think they have the talent. And I hate to say the writing team's not talented, because I know they probably are.
Mm.
But when they're at the whims of the McMahons... There's only so much you can do. You could churn out Shakespeare, Vince will knock the papers out of your hands, smear ketchup on it, and tell you to go back to work.
Well, to be fair, you should probably get fired if you wrote something like Shakespeare in this day and age.
Mm. But, you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean, and you know, I feel like right now, the route to Roman Reigns' main event guy is Roman Reigns went heel at Survivor Series, and they had to tell the story... And do it right, and blah, 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 because then you can turn him face, because everybody wants to cheer him, but they want to cheer him as a heel, and that's
yeah.
how you get his swagger back, and that's what he has.
Yeah.
And as a face, I think you can make it. I think you can make him into a star, but I don't think you can make him into your top guy. I don't think you really can with... Reigns right now, at all, because I think he's kind of been exposed. I think he's picked up some bad habits, and I don't think he's good enough. I think he's very good, and there's nothing wrong with being an upper mid-card guy who has occasional shots at the belt. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But
I can think of people infinitely more talented than Roman Reigns who never got the title.
Right, you know, and you've got, in their company alone, several guys who I'd put ahead of him, but if you wanted to make Roman Reigns your number two or three face... or number two or three heel, or occasionally, you know, try to give him a top heel run or whatever, go for it. But you're hitching your horse to the guy you like most because he is beautiful. And I get it.
And
you know, and the dude has some really good-ass matches, but it's not about any of that. It's about...
For me, I think the one thing that makes him more shiny than the others is he's homegrown from day one.
I agree.
And, you know... It's kind of crazy where some people can say, wow, you know, there's Tyler Black and Jon Moxley fighting for the world WWE title. And I think that's what grinds at them. Is that, you know, they can't say, we made you. A lot of these guys can go, no.
Yeah.
I made me. Roman Reigns can't say, I made me. Roman Reigns... from a wrestling standpoint, would be beholden to them, whereas other guys on the indies wouldn't.
Yeah. Plus, Roman Reigns has those beautiful blue eyes that they like.
Oh, my God.
All natural.
Whatever shade they want.
Mm-hmm. You know. And yeah. I'm not harping on the guy. He's good. He's much better than he has any right of being, given his relative inexperience and the fact that, you know, he was brought up way too quick.
You know, like, I bring up a lot of comparisons with Charlotte, even, where... She's pretty damn good. She's freakishly good for the amount of time she's been wrestling. Are there more deserving women? Yeah, but I think she's done pretty damn well with what they've given her, although they are starting to kind of expose her weaknesses, where just because she has the last name Flair doesn't mean she can promo like her dad.
Or at all.
That level of skill takes years. if ever, to develop.
For most people, yeah. Mm-hmm. But even still, like, if she had a long time, I just don't think she needs to be cutting promos like Ric Flair.
And not only that, it's Ric Flair promos weren't scripted.
Very true.
So it's that awkward thing, too, where people forget their lines. And if they go off script, they get punished for it. And it's completely
if they say, don't use my dead brother, they get punished for it. If you use dead brother and then you get a negative reaction, even though she didn't say shit, she gets punished for it.
Yep.
Pathetic.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, here's a question for you, Ryder Kath.
Okay.
Hey, have you noticed that no one in the WWE is over?
Yeah. I think people are over. People could be a lot more over. It's just not the people they want to be over.
Yeah. You know, and one thing that we've harped on ever since we started doing this show is once upon a time, WWE had everything in their court. They had the monopoly. They had the best talent in the world. And the best talent in the world, you know, they'd pick guys who could make. You know what's kind of weird to me, actually, when I say that is Stone Cold Steve Austin was absolutely not, at least in this day and age, absolutely not someone who would appeal to a Vince McMahon.
No.
But he got over more than anyone else. He was clearly the guy. He was clearly the best candidate, and they ran with him.
Yeah, and, I mean, from the start of his career, Austin was looked at as a pretty hot prospect.
Mm-hmm.
So, behind the scenes, I'm not sure, like, what their opinion was of him, but thankfully, they had the stones to throw stuff against the wall and see what stuck.
Yeah, you know, and when he caught fire, or when he started getting a semblance of something, you know, and of course, it's complete happenstance that he won King of the Ring, as they say. It was supposed to be Triple H, but curtain call happened. That's what they say. I don't know if that's true, but I believe it to be.
Yeah.
So, it's happenstance that he won, but he cuts the awesome promo, and all of a sudden, he's got that momentum behind him, and before too long, he's in main event programs. He's supposed to main event WrestleMania against Bret. They take the title off a few weeks before, and they put him in the underneath match, you know, in the submission match, one of the best Mania matches of all times. But it's like, off to the fucking races, they know this guy can make us money, so they run with it. And now it's just like, but I want the guy I want to be the guy, and I don't care if it's going to cost me money, because eventually I'm going to be right. But you can't manufacture that shit.
No, I think even with the Attitude Era with Hogan, it was the stars aligning, and the people the fans wanted was the person Vince wanted. So, okay, we'll go with it. But these days it's been clashing, and fans have so much more accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they might keep their network subscription, but they might not. And that's the thing where they're going to have to start realizing that, okay, they don't have, like, some kind of WCW specter looming over them. It's not that anymore. It's the accessibility of the internet. It is a much more even playing field than they seem to think in terms of accessibility.
Absolutely.
And they haven't caught on yet that they need to light a fire under their ass to continue to be the pinnacle. Because you've got people like the Young Bucks saying, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah. They literally are not the best option for everyone.
You have got fans saying, thank you, but no thanks. You've got AJ Styles, thanks, but no thanks. And at some point, it's going to twig with them that, okay, we aren't the be-all, end-all. They think they are. And the second they realize that's not true and that you have to hustle, maybe something will happen, but
maybe. I mean, what other warning sign do they need? They're under 3 million, probably going to drop way worse next week. So they've got a main event no one cares about. Undertaker's probably not going to be back until Mania. I mean, I would assume.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar, you know, whatever. Is he going to really pop ratings that much? He'll, you know.
It's like, is at some point Brock Lesnar's going to stop being worth what they pay him. I mean,
I don't think he's worth even close to what they're paying him.
Yeah, and they squandered him.
Yeah, and you know what? They squandered Alberto, and they're way overpaying him, and that $1.45 million number now, again, might be right. Might have been right all along. We don't know. But they have, like, they want to make him. And this is the best they can do.
Yeah.
Like, How to kill a guy in 1 week. Jesus Christ.
It goes back to that Simpsons quote, you know, but I'm using my whole ass. And that is the killer thing with Roman, is that they're trying. And it's like they have just completely forgotten how. And I have harped on this since day one. They've forgotten the value of a good story. And I get it. For them, the story never ends.
Right.
It is weekly. There's no... You know, you can say WrestleMania is kind of the end game. But that's a lot of TV time to fill.
Yeah.
With stories. And you get injuries thrown your way. You get people fired. You get this and that. I think what's going to start happening is that guys are just not going to renew their contracts.
I mean, well, I will believe that when I start seeing it. I ain't seen it yet, and... You know, there's been conjecture about Cesaro going to New Japan forever, and it ain't happening. You know, it has not happened. And La Sombra left CMLL, so that makes you think right there, if their top guy or one of their one or two top guys just left.
It's also, La Sombra's not in the system yet. You know, he doesn't know the burnout, the fatigue, the whole of it yet.
Honestly, the only major company to work for that's probably... worse schedule-wise than WWE is CMLL. So he's probably thinking it's going to be a vacation, honestly, and it probably will be for him because that motherfucker works like 9 shows a week.
So, yeah, it's. I think that's what's going to happen eventually. Is that, and not necessarily like your main event guys, but, you know, your lower-tier guys are just going to be like, I can do better in the indies. Some of these indies will pay for my travel. I can take a couple of weeks off if I want. I can truly be an independent contractor. And you know, WWE gives them name value and gives them a boost in their booking price. Uh-huh. And you had a lot of guys who would... I know a few who basically retired to do other things, but if somebody offered them enough money, they'd go and work a show.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay, I'll go work a match for 3-4 figures, fine. But they could do that. They could kind of tread off their own name value. And I think that might start happening. They're just going to start losing people. And you're going to start getting people who are jaded and who are just not interested in that lifestyle. And I think it's the lifestyle that goes back to all those injuries.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. As far as the exodus, I don't know. I'll believe that when I see it because I've been expecting it. And, you know, if getting paid less because of the network and all that shit hasn't caused a mass exodus of talent, I don't know what the hell is going to, because there has not been a single person who's left the company on their own volition other than Solomon Crow in a while, and he was down at NXT not being used, and I think he saw the writing on the wall. So, I mean, when I see a main roster guy of some repute, you know, leave the company and look for greener pastures elsewhere, I don't know, then I'll believe it.
Yeah, I mean, we can't predict, but something's got to give.
Yeah.
And right now, it's currently the talent themselves. They are breaking.
We'll see if... Yeah, they physically, absolutely. So, to my question...
Go.
You know, you've got Survivor Series. You have up and down the card, tepid reactions. You have a modest pop for Roman Reigns winning the world title. And then... mild condemnation for Sheamus cashing in on him. The most over person on the card yet again, was The Undertaker, a part-timer who is 1,000 years old, and he's the only guy who can get a reaction worth a shit. And it's like, you have to be established, and you have to be part-time, and then you become a megastar in this current system, because they squander every single person. Every single person who appears every week, the more and more they appear, the less and less over that they are. I swear to God, there's no denying that.
No.
You know, I understand a special attraction's a special attraction, but, like, every wrestling company in the modern era and in the past has had their attractions get big reactions every fucking week.
Yeah.
You know? Hulk Hogan, Goldberg.
You know, to me it just goes back to playing to strengths and having a good story. And those are such key fundamental things that I think are lacking in modern WWE.
Yeah.
You know, the story. And, okay, this dude can't talk, give him a manager. This dude can wrestle great, put him in long matches. This guy needs a hot valet, okay, let's do it. And it's just this lack of experimentation on their part.
Yeah. I'll say this for I think they need, and we have talked about this. They need to switch the production up because, and here's something that's really wild. If you think about it, 83, I think it was Raw started in 1993.
Wow.
You know, 1983 was 83 or 84 when the first, it was 84 the first WrestleMania, right? Doesn't matter. 10 years from the first WrestleMania to the first Raw, think of how different the product looked. You know,
yeah.
And if you go from 97, 98 to now, let's say 2000 even, to now, that's 15 years. And to me, the product looks almost no different at all. You know, it went HD, it still has the same ramp set up, it still has the same wide shots that they use, it's still... You know, the only thing that they change is the Titantron area.
Yeah, and I definitely see what you're saying there. Part of me is inclined to give them a pass because it's shot for the sake of expediency. And it's clean and it's simple and it works.
You know, I think that too much of the same look is actively hurting them.
Yeah, I think definitely like on SmackDown they have some room to play. Because they have a little bit of time to edit SmackDown and maybe do some stuff a little differently. But, again, basically, SmackDown is shot live. It's not like Lucha Underground where they
Raw.
Can...
yeah.
Yeah, they can do a retake. They can...
But that's less what I'm getting at and more. For 15 years, you've had... For more than 15 years, realistically, you've had the same magical floating camera. You've had the same people standing at weird angles and talking. You've had... No, like, short promos. You've had the long Raw open. You've had the same presentation forever. And I can't think of any other form of media that has that, you know, that doesn't evolve in some way. Because occasionally going to a turnbuckle-mounted camera for, like, two shots a show is not change.
No.
And they have to switch it up. It's just... Figure it out. Move the hard camera. Do something.
I think, you know, honestly, for them, it's just laziness.
Yeah, start interviewing people on top of the ramp. Establish that the camera is a corporeal thing or something. Just start changing it.
Yeah, have people. I see exactly what you're saying, and I definitely agree, you know. Decide whether the camera's omnipresent or not.
Yeah.
You know, decide... And if the camera's omnipresent, fine. But set the rule, don't have flashbacks and daydreams going into people's heads.
Yeah.
You know, and the one thing, like, there's always those weird bits of humor that just don't work. And you can just tell it's somebody telling a joke that's not funny.
Right. It's like all their goddamn humor is bad. If it were good, no one would care.
Yeah. And stop trying to recreate iconic moments and make them your own. You know, like the beer truck.
Yeah.
Stop going back to that.
I'm just surprised they haven't done Montreal in a few years.
Very true, but Montreal's been thrashed into the ground with that.
Hasn't stopped them the previous 10 times they've done it.
No, but, they seem obsessed with recreating the past and, like, okay, finding the next Shawn Michaels. Well, no. You know, you got Dean Ambrose. Make Dean Ambrose a Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Go with him rather than having a Triple H analog, rather than having an Undertaker analog. Have people be themselves.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what... A lot of people's issues are with Roman is that they see him as kind of a rock light. That's why people clamor for that heel turn, because the heel turn made the Rock amazing.
Yeah, that they did. You know, the one thing that I think sometimes people forget, though, is right before he turned heel, The Rock had solidly got everyone behind him as a face.
Yeah. And I think that's right now why the Roman turn, why I'm kind of cold on the idea. Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't have that establishment yet, and it would reek of trying to do the same thing. I think he'd need to get the fans a little more behind him before turning.
Frankly, I don't know if they're going to get him more than they got him right now.
Yeah, and it just blows my mind how they had to put him with Ambrose for so long to get him any semblance of warmth from the crowd.
You know, the one thing I don't really understand is why they're so concerned about mixed reactions. You know,
yeah,
like that's kind of the thing du jour right now. I mean, MMA has constant mixed reactions. Of course, some people don't get mixed reactions, but most people do, you know, and that's fine and it's great. And you don't have to like pound your fists and go cheer this guy, boo this guy. Just fucking go with it.
And, you know, Cena's been getting those mixed reactions for years. And, again, it's Roman's inexperience as a performer that he can't run with it. And that's not his fault.
Yeah.
He hasn't developed the tool set necessary to deal with it.
You know what? But they also haven't let him. And they make, you know, it very clear that you are not to veer off script and you are not to, you know, get an attitude and, you know, respond back. It's just keep doing the promo.
Yeah, and that's what kind of creates that disconnect where Cena can kind of work with it. I think Cena probably gets a certain more liberty.
No doubt.
As a performer. So it's really a difficult spot for the dude to be in.
Yeah. You know, when you look at the WWE and your biggest star ever was an anti-hero,
mm-hmm.
I just don't understand why you keep going back to the John Cena thing with the next guy. Why can't he be the anti-hero? Why can't you have the hero and the anti-hero both as your one and two face interchangeably?
Exactly, and even at odds with each other on occasion.
Sure,
why
I mean, they used to do constant face-face matches for a while in the mid-aughts, and they weren't all bad.
No, not in the slightest. It's just, it's down to that, this worked, so it will always work.
Yeah.
And no, it won't. Not when Lucha Underground is doing stuff that's so different. Not when you've got CMLL, not when you've got New Japan, not when I can click a button and go to ROH.com and watch the kind of wrestling that appeals to me.
Or you can now watch it on Comet digitally on whatever station the fuck,
exactly.
Wherever you find Comet.
Or I
Comet.
Can go to Pop TV.
Ha! Oh, we're almost there. Don't worry. We got to talk about WCW before we get to TNA because, of course, we do.
There's so many cast-offs.
Yeah, it's the spiritual successor.
Yes, it is.
So, you had a topic idea, if we're moving on from that one.
Yeah.
Of Rollins' return ideas.
Yes.
And I'm going to pass the floor over to you because I have to go get a beer. So I'll be back in 1 minute. You go ahead and vamp. Rollins' return ideas. Good luck.
All right. Well, there's obviously two ways you go about it. You go the heel route, you go the face route. I think that it would be really damn hard to go the heel route. Because Rollins is a dude that his booking wasn't always the greatest, but I think fans respect him as a performer and a guy who could always go out there and put on a great match. So I think a face return would be the smart thing to do. And I would be okay with that, with him going after Sheamus if Sheamus is going to have a long reign. And, you know, Rollins is rightfully pissed that he's replaced as the Golden Boy, and this guy's title got taken from him, and the Authority still got their way regardless. So I would love to see it where you could easily have him cost Sheamus the title, or, you know, come back and either try and secure that position or rail against it, because he knows what the Authority are capable of. You could have him do a redemption storyline where he has to redeem himself in the eyes of the fans, in the eyes of some of his fellow performers, and say, like, I don't need the Authority. I was there, Tony. Yeah. Was it the wrong thing to do? Maybe. I got the belt, and now I don't have anything anymore, so I'm going to get it back. You could easily have him be a mystery man in Money in the Bank. You could have, you know, Triple H and Stephanie try to reassert their control, and he's not having any of it because he's been away for a while, and he saw how easily he was replaced.
Extremely good ideas, all these ones that I heard.
Thank you.
Should I give a Rollins return idea?
Absolutely.
Reform the Shield.
For sure. I think that would tie in kind of with my redemption one,
mm-hmm.
where he'd have to earn that.
I'd just say do it, because they can't do anything right. Just do it.
I suppose so. That's definitely an option. And now it's my turn to go somewhere.
Mute your mic this time. Oh, good, you did. Okay, Seth Rollins returning. So the way I look at it with Seth Rollins is, and this is a difficult thing because there are many different ways you could go, and it is entirely dependent on when he gets back. So if Seth Rollins is indeed going to make Mania, and I hope he doesn't, because Lord knows your tendons do not heal that quickly, and he tore out two of them in his meniscus as well, then you'd like to see him do possibly a match maybe with Triple H, although I'd prefer to see Triple H doing something else. I'm not sure with whom, but not slumming it with Seth there. But I would personally like to see, honestly, pretty quickly jump into the Shield thing, you know, because
yeah.
It's so good. And I don't trust long-form storytelling with them right now.
Yeah, and I mean, you've really got a great setup with Rusev, Barrett, and Sheamus.
They're just not strong enough.
I don't know, like, they've got a lot of time.
It's better than going back to the Wyatt family, but...
Or the New Day.
The New Day. Now, you know, I think there's something to be said. I think, honestly, I don't see any reason why you can't make Big E a title contender.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
The New Day is the most overact in the company, no
yes.
doubt about it.
But the second things start sniffing the main event, creative starts to meddle.
I know. And that's always kind of the caveat with all these things, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, well, they're going to get fucked up. Well, they're going to fuck it up. Well, it's going to get fucked up.
And
know?
You know, people say fans are super cynical. It's like, it's not like there's no precedent.
I know. I mean, fool me once, can't be fooled again, as George Bush once said. But, no, I mean, really... Is it not right to be so cynical? Is it even being cynical? I don't think it's being cynical.
No.
It's just the way it is. They have not told many stories worth telling of late. And, you know, they... Like, what's the last great storyline that they really stuck to and really achieved with? I mean, it was The Shield, maybe?
Yeah. And they teased Ascension in The Shield. You saw them work through it.
Yeah.
And then... It's a shame, because the breakup started so good.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Rollins had some heat you hadn't seen since the Attitude Era, where people were just so mad. And then it floundered.
And, you know, you also we also had Paul Heyman and Punk. That was a phenomenal run.
That was pretty great.
And, like, beyond that, what do you got? Like, Brock Lesnar has not had a compelling storyline, really. He's had... some fun matches, and
yeah.
Heyman's cut some great promos, and he sure as shit comes off like a bigger star than anybody else they got, and John mm-hmm. Cena had a lot of fun matches with the Open Invitational, and I guess Rusev, you know, it worked, although they immediately started putting him under after he lost to Cena at Mania, but, I mean, I didn't really like the storyline all that much, but I admitted it worked, so
yeah.
Maybe that's the last great patient job that they did, was Rusev.
I wouldn't even say patient, like, I wouldn't say great. It was a competent storyline.
Yeah. It accomplished what they were setting out to do, and then they
yes.
immediately set out to destroy him.
It had a beginning, middle, and end. I mean, those are the basic building blocks of a story.
You know, and you look at what they did with Kevin Owens, debuting
mm-hmm.
him, beating Cena, and then blowing the whole feud off within, I believe it was 6 or 7 weeks?
Yeah.
You know, having him get beat, you know, Cena got his win back and then got another one for good luck, and it's just
yeah,
like...
Yeah, and then Owens was just like, oh yeah, it's people don't like me because I'm foreign. It was out of nowhere. And Cena was cutting a promo in Chinese for no reason, and...
It's because John Cena is awesome.
Yeah, it was... You can always tell when somebody stuck their finger in the pie, you
yeah.
know?
Absolutely, and... When you start, okay, here's the thing. A lot of people get excited these days, right, about
mm-hmm.
a storyline starting off.
Yes.
And God bless you if you do. I'm not saying don't do that at all. But sooner or later, what's going to happen?
Creative is going to get involved. Somebody is going to...
Like the start, like it's almost Russo-esque of late in how well they're able to start things off and how poorly they finish them.
Yeah.
Or even develop them before they finish, in the middle of the story. It's just, it goes to shit. Now, Rusev, they did do a good job. They had a clear idea, though, and they said, he's not losing until Mania, and he's losing to John Cena there. And they did
okay.
It, and it worked. But, like... If they don't establish these parameters at the start, it's just like they can veer off the road at a second's notice, and you fuck up once, the whole goddamn thing gets soiled.
Absolutely. Or the opposite end of it is where they stick to a destination or a preset point so intently that they just disregard anything else.
True. Yeah, it's a balancing act. And, you know, that's pro wrestling for you.
Yeah.
It's the end. Sorry, sports entertainment. Whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, WWE is the one. They are the ones responsible for wrestling having the rap that it has.
They are.
You know, like, if they don't want to call it wrestling, the only reason people associate wrestling with clown shoe bullshit is because of what they presented. Other wrestling, like AWA, NWA, most other things in the era where WWE got all fucking cartoony, was still relatively straightforward and realistic. So, they were the only ones that begat that image. It just blows me away, right? Because it's like, wrestling is the problem. The name is the problem. And it's like, you're the only one... You're who caused this!
Yeah.
Your cartoon bullshit... Yeah, it's wacky. It's wacky.
It is, but it's definitely not as wacky as, like, late era WCW.
Yeah. I guess we're getting to that now, huh?
Yeah.
People constantly compare current WWE to late era WCW. In how many ways is that ridiculous?
I think number one way is talent does not have the sway that it used to, like, over booking. They might be able to kind of finagle a few things, like the Shield were able to talk bookers out of certain things. But you don't have somebody like a Nash where he was in a position to say, nope, not losing.
Yeah, no one has creative control, not truly, in this company. I guess technically Triple H has creative control in that he's in control of creative.
Yes, but he's not a named talent who's going out there weekly to wrestle.
Yeah.
And you don't have that many cooks in the, you know, you don't have that many cooks in the kitchen where... They can be like, no, I'm not losing to him. I am not losing, period. And if you try and force it, I'm going to leave.
Late era WCW is something, people, that you have to behold. And lucky enough, every Tuesday, you can watch a new Nitro, or an old new Nitro, whatever, in PSP-TV, because MRT, Mass Rafter, PSP Zone, shows them off. And I don't think when I was a kid I understood how bad the shit I was watching was, probably because I tuned out. But WCW in the late era, 99 and on, is undoubtedly way worse. It's way worse than the combined total of Total Nonstop Action's output, because it was a major company that killed itself in 2 years. It squandered every bit of talent, the greatest roster ever assembled in North American wrestling. They squandered every bit of it, every advantage. They had unlimited money, and they pissed it away.
I think, like, the other thing, too, is the politics are not the same. You don't seem to have, like, this clique, the clique, you know, working, watching each other's backs. And for better or worse, I think. I don't know where you don't... You might hear Cena's kind of the locker room leader type.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't necessarily hear about, like, these people are tight, they're going to have each other's backs.
Right.
Backstage. And, you know, they'll vouch for each other, they'll do this, they'll do that, they'll shut someone out. You don't see that as much.
You don't seem to have as much in the way of, like, political blocks as you used to. You know, you had Nash's guys and you had Hogan's guys, and sometimes Nash and Hogan were boys together, and sometimes Macho Man hated Hogan, and sometimes he didn't. And everybody was sniping and trying to get a bigger piece of the pie. And in today's WWE, you know, part of it is nobody's a fucking star, so what leverage do you have? And... You know, the other part of it is just very simple. You know, you're illegally classified as a independent contractor, so what the fuck can you do? You have no right to anything. You can be fired at any moment. Brad Maddox, again, fired for saying prick. So, but yeah, I mean, at the same time, you have less leverage, so there is probably less reason to politic, because, you know, if you get the reputation for being a squeaky wheel, instead of getting the grease, you might just get the fuck thrown out. But it is also kind of funny when you think about it, because think of all the people. Okay, Sheamus, said to be Triple H's workout buddy on the road, right?
Yeah.
Once upon a time, at least. Whether that's true or not, who knows? But, you know, John Cena and Cesaro, very good friends, work out together all the time. And Cena, I guess, is just not the kind of guy who's going to go, hey, I want to have a feud with him.
Yeah, or if he does, they're like, okay, John, they pat him on the head, and it's half-assed. So, yeah, I think that's definitely one of the issues. And then just the, there is chaotic booking, but it's not quite as frantic. WCW was trying to win a war.
Yeah.
And WWE is not.
And WCW constantly had to rewrite shit at the last minute. WWE does that, but they don't have to.
Yeah, I mean, there were, you know, there was a lot more chaos. There were people leaving. There were people injured. There were people dying at a more frenetic. Yeah.
Yeah, so, people did die.
Yeah.
And then Larry Zbyszko cut a promo on the guy.
Oh, my God.
Or he didn't. In respect to his family, he didn't say what he was really thinking.
Yeah, but, I mean, he has a promo.
What's that?
It was a promo.
Yeah, but people, I mean, what can I say? Watch WCW if you haven't. If you're not following along, follow along, or
and
find the shit and download it, whatever.
The thing is, WCW is what happens when you try to cater to the internet.
They got obsessed with it, that's for sure.
And the thing is, they failed to account for a few things. One, it's very hard to keep a surprise on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Very hard. You're going to try and work the boys.
Which is the dumbest thing you can do.
Yeah, they would literally not tell talent to finish to certain things to get reactions or to keep it from leaking.
Or they would have fake arguments, like in front of them. What's the point of that?
Yeah, and it's just, it's not like something WWE did a while back where they told three people. They gave each of these three guys a version of the story to see what leaked.
Ah.
And they let go of the person whose story got leaked.
Did they actually do that?
Yeah. It was a couple years back.
Hmm.
But, I mean, that's a different case. But they were literally trying to cater to a fan base that is just notoriously fickle.
Yeah.
I mean, all you ever have to do is look up that, did you forget your scissors, Sid? And it's a line that would go over the head of 95% of the people in attendance.
And then he says it again.
Yeah, it's just notoriously bad for a reason, because, oh my God, stupid.
Yeah, you cannot overstate it. If you think Sheamus is a bad champion or a bad main event, you know, heel, think about Sid. The Millennium Man Sid. And the Millennium Man Sid was the funniest shit. But that's kind of bad when you're the main event heel. He was a dork. He would keep getting lost going places. He was presented as an idiot. He was made fun of. And this was your main event heel. And that was WCW in a nutshell. Everything had to be comedy. Everything had to be working the boys. Everything had to be bullshit. Everything had to be catering to the internet fans. And before too long, it stopped drawing money.
And there was also that, you know, these guys, these old guys are the draw, and the old guys had the ear of creative.
Uh-huh.
Or they were creative in some cases.
I mean, Nash had the book at one point.
And he was an active wrestler, and that should never happen.
Should never happen.
Because you're only human. I remember this interview with Alex Shelley, and somebody asked him, what would you do if you were in charge of TNA Creative? And he said, well, I would be immediately made God Emperor of Impact. And he just came up with all this ridiculous stuff. And it is, you know, one person was his, like, unholy minion of the night. And it was just carrying on and on and on in this silly, stupid thing. And that's what happens. Because you're only human. You'll put yourself over.
Yeah, you know, the only place where I've seen that not happen with, you know, where an active wrestler is wrestling is Japan. Actually, only New Japan that I can think of, because Hiroshi Ase was the booker at one point, mm-hmm. and he perennially underbooked himself, and now Gato is the booker, and he is a manager slash kind of almost opening match guy.
And, I mean, there's also, I guess, DJ Hyde.
Oh, the Deej. He took a horrible beating this weekend.
Yeah, so... But, I mean, it's your natural instinct would be to protect yourself.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's really not a comparison, because WCW was this beast frantically throwing everything at the wall, trying to cater to all these different egos.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to cater to the internet, and trying all these different things all at once at this frenetic pace to win this war. And WWE is just this this stone-gathering moss right now. They're just kind of a juggernaut that's sleeping.
Yeah. Now, when you mentioned the leak thing,
yes.
were you referring to WWE or WCW?
WWE.
They recently did a canary trap?
Yeah.
Do you remember the circumstances? Was it recent?
No, it was a few years back.
Oh, was it with Lagana?
I think so.
Yeah, I'd heard that as well. I can't remember if it was disputed or not.
I don't remember it being disputed. Could have been.
I'm sure that they've done that sort of thing plenty of times, because they are control freaks.
They are.
Yeah. So anyway, we're down to our final two topics. Do you have any questions, or do you want to skip them this week?
I didn't put it out there, but I will ask for questions.
Sounds good to me. And I got Cramine bothering me to do our PissCast show. So after this, I'm going on to do that. Two podcasts in one night. Crazy. Tantric, almost. TNA has found a new home, Ryder Kath. It's on the TV Guide Network.
Hooray!
Pop TV, the former TV Guide Network. Probably not getting any. If they are, they're getting very little money for this deal. Supposedly, the only two networks looking at them were Pop TV and WGN, and WGN ultimately passed. That's why they went with Pop. Pop released an absolutely nonsensical press release where they referred to fans as blockheads and gladiators. But fans are no longer just fans. They are something, something, blockheads and even gladiators, which I don't know what that means.
That probably means that somebody who's not a wrestling fan tried to write something to appeal to wrestling fans.
I guess.
Because if you ever watch somebody who doesn't watch wrestling and tell them to cut a wrestling promo, it's all screaming and yelling and just incomprehensible and horrible.
It's wild, crazy, just nothing that, like, shit that didn't even happen in the 80s.
Yeah.
Just garbage.
Yeah, and I think that's what that sounds like, where they're trying to appeal to wrestling fans without knowing what appeals to wrestling fans.
I don't even know, but I mean, I like...
I mean, TNA doesn't appeal to most wrestling fans.
Very true. Now, TNA is still going to fucking exist somehow, and somebody was mentioning, I think it was Flashy McFlash was mentioning, there's some sort of pending deal or ongoing deal with Sony 6, which is a Indian Sony project, and that's, you know, makes sense, because that's the reason why they have Mahabali Shera. It just blows me away they have him and not Jinder Mahal. I mean, come the fuck on.
Yeah.
Like, Jinder Mahal's good at wrestling now, you know? He was, before too long, up on the main roster. He got pretty good. He's not, like, a world beater, but Mahabali Shera is one of the worst active pro wrestlers in the world.
Wow.
So anyway, TNA has that going for him. They have a new show on Pop TV. Kurt Angle's leaving the company. They have almost no stars left. James Storm is still negotiating, I guess, with WWE. He might be back in NXT. Bobby Roode somehow still slumming around TNA. What the fuck, dude? Please give him an NXT deal.
Yeah.
Or can New Japan take him? Or anyone. Like, how do you not want a guy who's like 6 feet tall with a good body who's good at wrestling? I don't get it.
And good at talking.
And good at talking! Good at a character. He can play multiple characters. He's great!
Yeah, very versatile. He's like a Canadian Wade Barrett.
Oh. Anyway, are you excited about TNA's deal on Pop TV?
No.
Do you know if you have Pop TV?
No.
No?
No.
You don't know or you don't have it?
I don't want to know.
Oh,
okay. I don't think I do.
When's the last time you've watched a TNA episode front to back?
It was earlier this year. I don't think I made it through the whole thing. It was just bland.
Mm-hmm. I watched the debut on Destination America where Kurt Angle in his big jeans had a match against MVP in his huge jeans, and haven't watched since, and that show sucked. Apparently
yeah.
The shows right now are just completely listless and, you
mediocre.
Know.
Mediocre. Yeah.
They are what they are,
mm-hmm.
Which is better than what they usually are.
Oh, I was super excited to see Alex Shelley in Ring of Honor
mm-hmm.
facing off against Saban.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
I'm looking forward to that as well, actually.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of a great bit of storytelling because Saban's been such a shithead with the addiction. And
yeah.
Saban's really fun when he's playing this kind of smarmy douche. Like, he's just being a little shitbag.
Yeah, he's very good at it. No doubt about it.
Yeah, and he's been a great addition to the addiction. And so it's like having his former tag partner come out and call him on his BS is entertaining. So, that I'm excited about. We don't talk about Ring of Honor enough. It's good.
Very true. We should start watching the weekly show.
Yeah.
I say I should do a lot of things, and I never do them. I've still not watched No Mercy 07, or
me 06, neither.
Whatever the fuck one it was supposed to be.
It was supposed to be 07, I think.
It was whatever the one was where Randy Orton was given the title in the first match, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Carmine is really bothering me to start the show, so let's go ahead and wrap this up real quick. Obviously,
right.
We're going to do questions, though. The last topic that we were going to get to was WWE's classless bullshit. They wanted to blame the whole Ric Flair storyline on Charlotte. Big Daddy Dave Meltzer, the Joshi fucker himself, got out in front of it and had an article on his front page about how WWE is about to release a statement essentially saying that it was Charlotte's idea, this is bullshit, and then WWE still kind of went forward with the statement, which we talked about last week, where they said this angle would not have happened without strong advocacy of the participants involved, however WWE is ultimately responsible for whatever airs on its programming, whatever. But
yes.
The point is, they really, really hated the reaction they got, and they really, really wanted Charlotte to be able to be blamed for that. And now it's coming out that Triple H is talking about bringing back Hulk Hogan, and his absolutely cowardly and insipid justification was, when you're on top, everybody loves to see you fall, and when you fall, everybody loves to see you go back up top of your perch. And,
it's galling.
You've heard what Hulk Hogan said, right?
Yeah. And I told you, I think the only reason Hunter came out and said that was for a single word and a single number.
What is it?
WrestleMania 32.
Ah. You think there's some of that foul play involved, huh?
I think they're hurting for names. They think they're hurting for names.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, he's trying to build up a little bit of credibility for Hogan, a little bit of sympathy, to see if they can get him on the show. I think that's the only reason he said that.
Oh, God. They're going to do it.
Who else do they have right now? Maybe Sean.
Like to wrestle?
Well, no, but just to...
Oh.
You know, you could... Why not call Sean and get him to be the host? It's Texas.
Hey, hate to say it, but Hulk Hogan's a much bigger star than Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, but it is Texas. So if you're going to talk pure crowd reaction, and let's face it, at this point in time, Shawn Michaels would get much more of a face reaction than Hulk Hogan.
I wish that were true. I wish that were true.
Honestly, like with the smarky crowd at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Like, would you really want to run the risk, the remotest possibility of, like, he's a racist chant?
He's a racist. He's a racist? That would be great.
So, honestly, I don't know why they're pulling this and this early. To me, it's fairly transparent why he said it. I think he's trying to hedge his bets for Mania.
That's an interesting proposal. That you might be right.
Yeah, I usually am.
You often are there, Kath.
With regards to the WWE statement, I think you hit the nail on the head last week. All they needed to say was WWE is ultimately responsible for what airs. Trying to blame the talent is one of those things that's going to kill morale. Nobody's going to buy it.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah, absolutely.
For a company that craves publicity, as soon as they get a little bit of bad stuff, they amazingly overreact.
Yeah, they used to love the bad pub. They'd act outraged at it, but they loved it. Nowadays?
Oh, yeah.
Nowadays, you cannot say anything bad about us. We're cozy with Komen.
Yeah. And, oh, yes, because Komen is notoriously famous for being a warm, friendly, fuzzy company.
They go together hand in hand, that WWE
they
and
They really do.
Komen. Bunch of disgusting assholes.
It's true. And it's... Nobody's going to buy that Charlotte was like, hey, I got this great idea, guys. And, you know, poor Vince was sitting in his rocking chair. I don't know, Charlotte. I don't know why I did a Mr. Ed impression there.
I was going to say.
It works. You know, like, they're not like the hemming and hawing bosses. You know, Charlotte, no, don't do it!
Like, they simply cannot stand up to the onslaught of this woman. She just, you know, she demands, you need to have Paige make fun of my dead brother.
She wooed at them until they cowered.
And chopped them and wooed them.
Yep.
Strutted around after they agreed.
Yep.
It's wild. It's so them. It's yeah. So WWE. You know, they're the biggest fucking, like, coward little babies.
The thing is, I've said it before, they're very insular.
Yeah.
So, when stuff happens that's out of their control, they overreact. All they needed to say was, you know, they could have done the most insipid apology with, sorry if this offended anyone.
Or they could have just not apologized, because who really gave a fuck?
Well, enough people did that they issued a statement.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, enough, like, people do, and I did, and I thought they were garbage for it, but I thought the apology was worse. You know,
yes.
I think, I thought doing that was dumb, you know, and I think it's as simple as just going, hey, you know, we tried, it was not a great idea, our bad.
They're too proud to say that.
Yeah,
because
but,
I would admit they did wrong.
Right, so even though it got out in front of them, you know, that it was their idea, and even though everyone would have figured that out anyway, and anyone with a brain would know that, they
yeah.
still had to lead off two sentence press release here. They still led off with, oh, Charlotte's fault, though.
Yep. And nobody's going to damn well buy that. Nobody.
Nope. Ridiculous to me.
Yeah. So it's just... The company is fascinating to me because I want them to succeed. And yet, they are so entertaining when they fail.
You know, but you look at everything put together, their relationship with Susan G. Komen, which, you know, absolute disgusting charity.
Philanthropy is how brands are going to win.
They're basically their little post-mortem exploitation of a young WWE fan. The thing with Warrior, you know, Warrior was garbage, so I don't really give a shit about that.
Yeah.
I'm actually more upset that they even put him in the hall and then continue to bring his name up because he is so trash.
And, you know, this goes back to Paul Bearer's family.
Yeah.
And they didn't say, you know, Bearer's sons were cool with this.
Right.
And Bearer's sons came out and said, we were cool to a point, we didn't know... Paul Heyman was going to come out dressed like our father and, you know, mock ashes of our father were going to be dumped on one of his closest friends.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a company that they just overreact. You know, they're the bully.
Yeah.
Who starts crying when they get whapped in the nose.
Pretty much. much.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. That's the last little end soapbox there for the show here, and I guess we have a single question here now that we've asked them.
All right.
So that's your question, so go right ahead, Chow Yeah.
It's from Luigi 30. Why was Hotmail robbed during the Craig contest?
Eat shit.
Good answer, because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Nor do I.
Sorry, Luigi. You'll have to clarify,
and
then
shit.
We'll tell you to eat shit.
Exactly. Well, Kath, do you have any other general thoughts on wrestling this week?
Heath Slater was on.
He was on? Yes, he was.
That
and
was good.
You were thankful for that.
Yeah.
Sheamus is the champ. Sheamus has a stable.
Wade Barrett is so much better than him in every conceivable way.
So is the New Day.
Yeah.
So is Dean Ambrose. So is Kevin Owens.
Ambrose rocks.
A lot of people better than Roman Reigns, and I still think Roman Reigns is one of the better guys they got.
Agreed.
It's just one of those things, you know? When you're not the guy, you're not the guy.
You'll never be the man, no matter how many times you beat the man.
So when the fuck is John Cena coming back? Next week? Week after?
Never.
God, I hope it's soon.
He's dead.
John Cena died?
Yeah.
Fucked up if true.
Yeah.
Well,
I broke the news here first. Just like you injured Seth Rollins, so we could break the story.
Exactly. Well, that's what we'll lead off with. I'll move that to the front of the show.
Wonderful.
Well, Kath, I want to thank you very much for being here, doing the show, having a good old time.
Indeed. Thank you for having me, as always.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a pretty good show, I think.
It is. Good times.
And thank you, everyone out there, for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week. Go ahead and subscribe if you haven't yet. Vote us a 5. Give us a 5, baby. Post about us in the podcast thread and talk about how much better the show is than the Pisscast.
Absolutely.
And I guess until next time, we'll see you later.
Keep fit and have fun.
Be cool, eat fruit.
Keep it tight.